This is an audio recording of a man of sufficient stature by Johan Peters, the coming Messiah, taking the world by storm. The preface, this booklet is a compilation about a dynamic leader who will shortly come on the world stage, put forth a proposal for world peace and economic stability. This will be when the world is in absolute turmoil and all hope seems gone. We see the immense, daunting problems ahead of us and for our future generations. Biblical prophecy is about the only thing that gives us a glimmer of hope. Prophecies for the present are accompanied by one that is already fulfilled, so we can assume that what is prophesied for today will also come to pass. Paul Henry Sparks said, "Give us a man of sufficient stature to hold to the allegiance of all people, and we will receive him." This will give insight into the popularity of this person, his leadership qualities, and why he is so loved and admired and has the support, loyalty, and worship of the many. During his 7-year tenure, he will force us to make a decision that many of us will not be ready for. It is my hope and prayer that this booklet will prepare you for any decisions that you and those dear to you will be faced with. Chapter 1. Passing the point of no return. There is a nuclear buildup, waste, global warming, the debt crisis, overpopulation, corruption, money laundering, politicians lying through their teeth, ethnic cleansing, terrorism, mass shootings, violent conflicts, corrupted drinks and food, starvation of the poor, swollen bellies, mountains of non-biodegradable plastics, mental health problems, anxiety, stress, schizophrenia, suicide, euthanasia, waterboarding, torture, carbon emission, pollution, domestic violence, violent demonstrations, stabbings, hate crimes, addiction in many forms such as drugs, porn, alcohol, gaming, gambling, religious fanaticism, religious persecution, rape, sadistic murders, wars, etc., 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 etc. On and on and on and on goes the list. Who will slam the brakes? September 2019, Greta Thunberg, a young Swedish environmentalist activist, at the age of 16, made an emotional, pointed speech at the UN General Assembly. She said, "Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. And yet, I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction." Paul Henry Spaak, one of the founding fathers of the European Union and second secretary of the NATO, said already more than half a century ago, "What we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold the allegiance of all people and to lead us out of the economic morass into which we are sinking. Send us a man, be he God or devil, and we will receive him." Well, how can we stop this looming disaster? The preacher says, "Jesus will return any time and solve it. Don't get left behind." Is there any reality to that? The fanatic, he says, "We have to implement religious laws, and if it be by the sword, so be it." Is that the solution to worldwide peace and harmony? The monk says, "No, be peaceful. You just have to be happy." Be happy? Well, a ship is sinking. The activist, "No man, forget this religious stuff. The answer is social media. Let's come together and protest." Is it the furious mobs on the streets? The politician says, "The answer is democracy." Say that again. But what about the wars and the crimes committed under the cloak of democracy? Then we have the bear market or the financial collapse. The Wall Street Journal, this is an article by Sudip Reddy on May 11, 2013. 223 trillion US dollars is the total indebtedness of the world, including all parts of the public and private sectors, amounting to 313% of our global gross domestic product. So already in May 2013, the combined debt that we owed was $223 trillion. If we divided that by the world population, it averaged out to $30,000 per person worldwide. Our economy and our financial stability is like a house of cards. If one of the players removes a card, then the financial system will collapse and we have the bear market. With the consequent confusion and riots, the world will be ready for anything and anybody to be our savior and get us out of this catastrophic mess. What we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold the allegiance of all people and to lead us out of this economic morass into which we are sinking. Peace will come. We have talk shows about peace. We march for peace. We light candles and have prayer meetings for world peace. Yet the hostilities, wars and conflicts keep increasing. How dare you say peace will come? According to prophecy, we have that glimmer of hope that there will be a UN peace agreement. Suddenly and completely unexpected, when it seems that peace is an out-of-reach illusion, a mastermind puts forth a 7-year peace agreement. Daniel 9:27 says, "He shall confirm the covenant with many for 7 years." The prophet Daniel foretells us that it will be confirmed by many. The United Nations. Our prayers are answered. We love the genius of this peace pact, and he will be our quote-unquote Prince of Peace. Our Savior, the time is ripe. It happens quickly. The collapse of the financial markets or the bear market, anarchy and riots. The time is ripe to launch the New World Order and its leader as our quote-unquote Messiah and Savior. He is the brain behind a 7-year peace agreement. Peace agreement includes the Jews can build their third temple in Jerusalem and reinstate animal sacrifice. Then there will be the propaganda to be a global citizen and to take the RFID, the radio frequency identification microchip implant. Then cash will be replaced by a new world credit system. For this, the RFID chip is needed. Now, is the Bitcoin the forerunner of this? Implementing the 10 regional groupings into which the world will be divided. He takes the world by storm. He becomes strong with the small people. He becomes strong in his position because of the small people, which are the floods of multitudes coming out on the streets in support of him. Daniel 11:23 says, "He shall come up and shall become strong with the small people." A small people can also translate as a few people. In that case, it would refer to the few people who pull the strings behind the curtains and the social media. Most likely it is a combination of the two, as he needs both to help him come up and become strong to consolidate his power. John the Revelator sees this person as a beast that is like a leopard. It says in Revelation 13:1-2, "A beast with 7 heads and 10 horns was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear." He rises to power fast as a leopard, taking the world by storm. He has the feet of a bear, which tells us that he finds his feet or gets a foothold in during the bear market with the socialist ideology of the bear representing Russia. The prophet Daniel refers to him as King of the North in Daniel 11:40, meaning north of Israel, confirming Russia. Financial support to enroll. Since the powerful financial conglomerates are backing the New World Order and its leader, he will be our savior and bring us economic recovery with jobs and food on the table. Daniel 11:24 says that he shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers, and he shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches. So he enters even the fattest places. He gives advice to these fattest places. What are these fattest places? The fattest places are the World Bank, the IMF, and the major financial institutes. None are fatter. Listen to this. He shall do that which his fathers nor his grandfathers have done. He shall scatter the riches. Mouth dropping. Totally unheard of. He will do what has never been done before by the fathers and the grandfathers of the financial families who are behind these fattest places and who have accumulated most of the world's wealth. He is shrewd, and to win people's heart, he will distribute or scatter selected parts of that fat wealth. Of course, it is only for those who take the RFID implant to receive his support. And it says in Daniel 11:39, he will divide the land for gain. Later on, he provides land to gain and consolidate his supporters, erasing debts, in order to implement and win the loyalty of the 10 political economic regions. He erases part or all of that debt to the IMF and the World Bank. So those countries within the 10 regional groupings will want to cooperate and accept him as their new world leader. Now, who wouldn't want a leader like that? Then we have the rebels that are subdued. We read in Daniel 11:24, he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds and even for a time. So he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds. He will tell the countries and the regions which oppose him for a time and hold out strong against him that they will be ruined if they don't fall in line. He shall subdue three kings. It says in Daniel 7:8-24, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. He shall subdue three kings. So he shall subdue three kings, and from this we see that three of the 10 regional groupings won't accept him as their boss, and he will pluck them up by the roots. The foundation or roots of any government is their economy or monetary power. He shall subdue them by financial boycott, trade embargoes, which means shortages, and turmoil in those regions. People will riot until their countries and regions will also submit to the supreme leader. Money power dominates. As a population, we have become totally dependent on money. Why? Let's look back one generation. My mother was one of 15. In my village was a family with 22 children. There was a saying that children are the poor man's wealth. These were simple agricultural farmers. Were they poor? Yes. Did they have faith in God? Yes. Were they happy? I would say yes. The reason I say yes is because suicide was practically unheard of. At present, money is our God, which Jesus called mammon in Matthew 6:24. We cannot afford a child unless both partners work for mammon. Then we might consider the possibility of a child. When we don't serve our God with long hours, then he will put the screws on and we might go in debt. Despair, depression, and often suicide follows. The MoneySavingExpert.com reported in November 2018 that more than 100,000 people in debt actually attempt suicide each year. He will use this money power to buy everyone's loyalty and to push the RFID implant. The RFID will be to fight corruption, kidnapping, money laundering, the drug trade, and to make the world a better and safer place to live in, etc., etc. We will be euphoric to have world peace, and we will feel safe within the new world order where everyone is identified and where criminals can be traced immediately. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, when they shall say peace and safety, then comes sudden destruction upon them as labor upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So while we are thrilled with peace and safety, he sets up the world's worst tyranny, and with sudden destruction he will eliminate multitudes that don't agree with him. Just as labor comes upon a pregnant woman, it will happen for sure. No escape. His wars and why Brexit? He is a war hawk who honors the God of forces. Daniel 11:38 says, he shall honor the God of forces. Before reducing the world population, he engages in two wars to enforce peace in the Middle East. The first one he wins, the second war he retreats as Israel's allies interfere. According to Daniel, Israel's allies will use the SBAs, or the sovereign base areas, which are the British bases on Cyprus. Kittim in Daniel 11:30 is the old name for Cyprus. And these come against the Antichrist and his European allies. If I understood it right, then Britain would not be able to do that if they remain part of Europe. Chapter 2. Preparation for the Messiah. In Judaism, we are waiting for the Mashiach, the Messiah who will bring us peace. Did the Messiah already come, or does he still need to come, is the question that we are faced with. Now, while traveling in India, I sat next to a middle-aged, cultured Indian lady. She was reading a spiritual book. We had pleasant small talk, and towards the end of our flight, our conversation took a turn towards God and the Messiah. Oh yes, the Messiah will soon come, she enthusiastically stated, looking me in the eye. I said, maybe you can help me out here a bit, as I was under the impression that the prophecies in the Vedas concerning the Purus Prajapati, translated as the Supreme Creator in human form, were fulfilled in Lord Jesus. So did the Messiah not already come, was my question. She said, partly maybe, but they are all reincarnations of each other, and the final Messiah will soon come, she assured me as she was leaving the plane. I felt sorry that I did not have the time to explain to her what it says in the Hindu scriptures and the Buddhist encyclopedia. These explain that the Messiah or the Holy One is a specific individual who through his ultimate sacrifice gave us mukti or moksha, salvation. And he did away with the samsara, the endless wheel of suffering and rebirth. Knowing that the Messiah or Holy One was one specific person who did away with reincarnation, there cannot be another reincarnated Messiah. The media is preparing us. Jesus said that before his return, iniquity shall abound. It says in Matthew 24:12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. Iniquity and violence galore, insane, sadistic, suicide and shoot-em-up games. Inspired by these virtual reality games, we have mass shootings and cold-blooded murders. The lines are blurring and the virtual is becoming actual reality. Then it says in Daniel 11:37, he has no desire of women. So he has no desire of women, and he is either a homosexual or a transgender. Hence we have the drive for the LGBTQ awareness. Now we have classroom education with textbooks and illustration. Clinics are set up where children can have a change of sex. Well, during my recent holiday, I spoke with a German lady in her early 30s. She confided in me that when she was 6 years old, she very strongly felt that she wanted to be a boy. If sex change would have been available, she might have well gone for it. I said, do you still want to be a man? I asked her. Oh no, I am happy to be a woman. I'm happy with my body. I think I would have been so messed up. Well, what changed your mind? I asked. Just growing up, I guess, she answered. The prophet Daniel saw him as a horn with eyes. It says in Daniel 7:8, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man. Horns signify power. The eyes of a man, the man is big brother. Eyes are in every place. CCTV cameras and internet data storage. Daniel chapter 8 shows us that our Savior comes from Egypt, which is another copy of Jesus. As it says in Matthew 2:15, out of Egypt have I called my son. Daniel explains that he will grow strong towards the south, that is Africa, and towards the east. Daniel 8:23 says, in the latter time, which is now, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. A king of fierce countenance is an aggressive, stern appearance, shall stand up, and he shall understand dark sentences. Our Messiah has his origins in Egypt. This shows that he has his roots and spirituality in the ancient dark powers of the pharaohs and their magicians. Daniel 8:25 says, "He shall cause craft to prosper. For this reason we are inundated with witchcraft." Demons, witches, and werewolves are a normal part of computer games and movies for all ages. Young children can learn through harmless, fun games how to cast spells to hate and do self-harm. For instance, by watching cute Pokemon, as a result of one episode, 700 children in Japan were taken to hospital with fits. Our faith is undermined. At present, we are made to doubt what Jesus said by many false prophets. Jesus said in Matthew 24:11, "Many false prophets shall rise, and they shall deceive many." It is usually the haughty religious church intelligentsias who are smarter than God and disagree with His word. During the last 200 years, we have been taught that Jesus can come back anytime. This theory is now very popular with most of the theologians and the evangelists, and it is believed by 90-95% of the Christians. Well, it started with John Darby and then Cyrus Scofield, who wrote the Scofield Bible. Dates of Jesus' returning have been predicted many times, and it is all part of the campaign to undermine our faith. So we will finally say, forget this rapture stuff. Jesus will never come back. 2 Peter 2:3-4 says, "There shall come in the last days scoffers, saying, where is the promise of His coming?" People will be so fed up with these nonsense speculations that they will be happy to accept this quote-unquote reincarnation of Christ as the real deal. Avri Christus. About this reincarnation of Christ, we need to understand the original Greek word Avri Christus, which is translated in the Bible as Antichrist. Anti now means against. Anti in the original Greek is Avri and means instead of. Antichrist literally means replacement of Christ. Hence, many will believe that this man of sufficient stature to hold the allegiance of all people comes as the reincarnation of Christ. So is he God or devil? Jesus says in Matthew 24:26 and Revelation 1:7, if they say, "Look, he is in the desert," don't go. "Look, he is in the secret chambers," don't believe it. For the Son of Man comes with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. Chapter 3, the crackdown, the RFID implant. During the first 3.5 years, we will be pressured to be a good world citizen and to take the RFID chip as proof. "If you have nothing to hide, then you have nothing to fear." This quote was used by Joseph Goebbels, Hitler's propaganda minister. Those refusing the implant must have something to hide and are enemies of our new world. The RFID chip implant is referred to in the Bible as the mark of the beast, or 666. What does 666 mean? One simple explanation is the UPC, the universal product code, that is on every product. If on the right side of the UPC code you see the number 6, then above it are two thin lines which represent the number 6. The three sets of longer, double thin lines without a number each stand for 6. Hence, the number 666. The RFID functions on these numerical arrangements. Now, why forbid the RFID? In the Bible, God strictly forbid to take the mark. Now, why would God forbid this microchip if it is for economic reasons and to keep the world safe? It says in Revelation 13:16-18, "He causes all to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell except he that had the mark." Now, if you took the mark naively, eventually you will do a swearing in or sign a similar worded statement as follows. I hereby solemnly swear that I am dedicated to serve the New World Order and its leader with my heart, soul, and mind. I deny faith in any god and I only worship him and his image. I will defend our new world with my life. I swear to inform the authorities of anyone who refuses the RFID implant for global citizen proof. I would rather that my tongue be severed and my heart be cut out if I do not abide by this pledge. In Matthew 10:21, Jesus says, "Brother shall betray brother to death, father the child, and children their parents." So what if you already took the mark in your right hand? Jesus said, if your right hand offends, cut it off, so you don't end up in hell, in Matthew 5:30. Ouch! Send the hand far away and flee. Branding the slaves. We will receive a goodwill donation with our RFID implant. With this, we can buy our food to stay alive and to be enrolled in his captive workforce. We will be so deceived into thinking that we have freedom. Nonetheless, we are bought slaves, branded with our individual number of the master. No longer iron chains, but heavier chains of finances and debt. George Orwell wrote in his book, 1984, "Freedom is slavery, and slavery is freedom. And if all accepted the lie which the party imposed, the lie became truth." So, there will be no more runaway slaves, as we can be traced anywhere and anytime if we don't cooperate. Now, what do the experts say? Mr. Carl Sanders headed a team of scientists to create the implantable chip that could positively locate anyone who has it. This was a joint venture of General Electric, Motorola, and the US government. Mr. Sanders now actively campaigns against the microchip and that we should not take it even if it becomes mandatory. As the lithium that is used in the battery, when it escapes into the body, will cause a terrible, painful sore. You can watch this link on his talk on YouTube. The Book of Revelation teaches us that the first after effect of the nuclear war is a grievous sore. Revelation 16 verse 2 and 13:16 say, "A repugnant and grievous sore upon the man which had the mark of the beast in their right hand or forehead. And yet we blame God for our troubles, as they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they repented not of their deeds." Revelation 16:11. The nuclear war is at the end of the 7 years, so be careful about accepting this chip, as consequences will definitely be ahead. Then we have the assassination attack. Our Savior seems to be dead, but gets resurrected. His deadly wound was healed, and he was wounded by a sword. Revelation 13, verse 3 and 14. Wound by a sword. Will someone who knows that he is the Antichrist or the Dajjal, as he is referred to in the Islamic scriptures, try to kill him with a sword? We might think he is powerful, but it says power was given unto him. In Revelation 13, 5, and power was given unto him to continue for 42 months. Even Satan, who gives him his power, operates only with God's permission. The animal sacrifice stopped. Daniel 8:12 says, "A host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. A host of peacekeepers is given him, and they move into the temple and stop the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression," meaning that the daily animal sacrifice is a transgression against the animal rights. Instead, they will place the abomination, which is a computerized robot or a human android. Daniel 9:27 says, "In the middle of the 7 years, he will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to stop and place the abomination of desolation." When this happens, the Jews will know that the Mashiach is bad news, and hopefully many will turn to their true Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. Life for the image. There will be a specific false prophet who has made it his life's calling to sell the people on the divinity of the leader as the Messiah. Revelation 13:12 says, He will cause the earth and they that dwell therein to worship the first beast. This false prophet gives life to the image of the Messiah. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast in Revelation 13:15. With scientific hocus-pocus, he commands demons to enter the image. If demons can operate Ouija boards, then they can manipulate the highly sensitive micro-mechanisms and make it look like the image is alive. Now, all this happens under the cloak of science, but in reality, this thing becomes a mouthpiece for the demons and for Satan himself, demanding our worship. If we refuse to worship that God-damned, it is damned by God, talking puppet, it gives us a death sentence. Revelation 13:15 says, As many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Then we have robots rule. Daniel 11:38 and 39, A God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor to rule over many. A God his fathers knew not, human androids and robots shall he promote and place in administrative positions to rule over many. Abomination and the image. Daniel's abomination of desolation is the same as the image of the beast. Jesus said, when you see that thing in the temple, flee, run, don't take anything with you, move, for then is very, very big trouble. Matthew 24:15-21 says, When you shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, which is the temple, he that reads, let him understand, flee, for then shall be great tribulation. So this is absolute mayhem. Jesus cautions us, he that reads, let him understand. Well, do we understand? When this image is set up, it is instantly very effective, sending out lists of names to checkposts and police stations of the non-chip. For those that stay with their homes, it means you accept the lies and the mark, or you get eliminated. Revelation 12:11 says, they loved not their lives unto death. Do we fight back? Do we take up arms to defend or avenge ourselves? Jesus said in John 18:36, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. So not my will, dear Jesus, but yours be done. Luke 22:42. Shall we demonstrate? Ha! He will not tolerate it whatsoever. He will make Hitler's camps, Stalin's great purge, the Pol Pot killing fields look like child's play. The tribulation period is the second half of the last 7 years. 3.5 years, and it is cited 8 times in the Bible as 40 and 2 months, time times and half a time, and 1260 days. And then the lunar calendar was counted, and that was 360 days. So 1260 divided by 360 is again 3.5 years. Solving the population crisis. It is carved in the Georgia Guidestones and advocated by numerous public figures to reduce the world population to 500 million to maintain the balance of nature. ECO 92, the Earth Charter, states reduction of numbers must be done by whatever means necessary. I mean, are people really that insane? Are they planning to eliminate most of the world's population? It's decision time. The prophet Joel writes that it is decision time. Joel 3:14 says, Multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near. So with this in mind, it is good to spiritually prepare ourselves to know what we want to do. If we decide to run and flee, with the woman representing the body of believers into the wilderness, then know that we will have a place prepared of God where we will be fed for 1260 days. For the Israelites, it was 40 years in the wilderness. For us, it is 3.5 years. In Revelation 12:6, it says, The woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1260 days. Now God could only lead the Israelites after they left their job and they thumbed their noses at those trying to control them. God has bound himself not to override our decisions, but he will work on our behalf if and when we make the right decisions. However, let's not wait till the last day, as it might be too late. We had better start planning when the 7-year peace agreement is signed. When that happens, we'll realize that Bible prophecy is accurate. The very elect. Matthew 24:24-25 says, "If it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before." So if you consider yourself to be the very elect, be warned, as he will do his utmost to deceive and confuse you as to who is the real Christ. Jesus warned us all so many times. Look, I have told you before. Chapter 4, The Great Deception. There are two specific individuals, the Antichrist and the false prophet. This prophet is the devious one. The difference between a true and a false prophet. True prophets teach scripture, take it or leave it. A false prophet takes one scripture and spins an enticing theory around it, but you end up wondering if what Jesus said still holds true. Jeremiah 14:14 says, "They prophesy lies in my name, the deceit of their heart." Lies in my name. Oh, in the name of Jesus. The false prophet. John the Revelator saw the false prophet as a lamb with two horns. Revelation 13:11 says he had two horns like a lamb and spoke as the dragon. This shows that he is two-faced and two-pronged, one religious and scientific. Horns represent power, so he's a powerful speaker, smooth and hypnotic as a dragon or devil. Now, Jesus was pictured as a lamb, so either he is a pious, interreligious speaker or a quote-unquote Christian promoting the Mashiach of our Jewish brethren. Fire from heaven, Elijah. The prophet Malachi wrote that Elijah will first come to announce the Messiah. Malachi 4:5 says, "I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the Lord." Elias and Elijah are both the same names for the same prophet. Jesus said of John the Baptist that John came as Elias. Matthew 11:7-14, it says, "Concerning John, this is Elias which was to come." Hence, Elijah already came as John the Baptist, announcing the true Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. It says in Revelation 13:12, "He makes fire come down from heaven on the earth, and he deceives by the means of those miracles." Elijah called down fire from heaven. This quote-unquote prophet will call down fire and proclaim that he is Elijah, and he is here to announce the only true Messiah. There is already talk among some church folks that there is a prophet called Elijah in Israel. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "Don't marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." So don't be surprised. Jesus said, "I've told you before, watch out that nobody deceives you," he says in Matthew 24. The tenure of the Messiah. He confirms the peace agreement for 7 years. These 7 years are also the length of his tenure. Revelation 12:7-9 says, "There was war in heaven, and Satan and his angels were cast into the earth." So in the middle of his tenure, Satan and his demons are cast out of heaven, and many will get demon-possessed, and Satan himself possesses the Antichrist. He'll vulgarly curse and foul-mouth God. Revelation 13:5 says, "There was given unto him a mouth speaking blasphemies, 42 months. So he was just kicked out of heaven, and he's a bad loser and vengeful against God's people. The devil is furious with the one that understand prophecy and who don't fall for his lies. It says in Revelation 12:17-19:10, "The dragon was enraged at those who have the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. So they know he is a murderer and a liar and out to destroy. It says in John 8:44, separating the tares. His assignment is to separate the tares with the RFID implant, and when that job is done, his tenure is over. Matthew 13:30 says, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares. Thus, the reincarnation of Christ is one of the reapers, the grim one, and his job is to gather together the tares. It was given unto him, it says in Revelation 13:7, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. He is not allowed to do it on his own. The Lord gives him permission to make war with the saints to see where each one's heart is at. Okay, he will kill many of the saints, but he is really doing them a favor by sending them home to heaven. Mark 8:35 says, who will save his life shall lose it, but he that shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. The departure from earth looks pretty gruesome, but then we know that departures are never the most joyful of occasions. Nevertheless, the arrival up there is beyond description, with loved ones awaiting and hugging and cheering. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Now we have the falling away. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 says, that day shall not come except there comes the falling away first. At that time, the alleged faith of many will fail the test, and there will be a great falling away. Dear friend, in all humility, I ask you to bring these words before the Lord and see for yourself. If it is the truth, then we have some decisions to make concerning our future. Because almost all Christians believe that Jesus will come back before the tribulation. Isn't that what we all want to hear? I would like it to be true, but that's not what Jesus said. He said after. And Jesus hammers his word home with a later verse, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. In Matthew 24:35. Matthew 24:29-30 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, they'll see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. How hard as it may sound, but we have been lied to. It doesn't matter how many believe the same thing, but what Daniel, Revelation, Jesus and Paul tell us, that is what will happen. Fear and worry is our number one enemy, because if we have faith and trust God with our life, then we know that he will watch over us like a hawk. There'll be lies galore. Listen to this speech. No, listen carefully and read my lips. We have new scientific evidence and anti-terrorist intelligence information that aliens are among us, and they are conspiring to take over the world. Well, we are smoking them out with the RFID implant, and those refusing the RFID implant as proof of their world citizenship are hiding the fact that they are infiltrators and not of our world. Their so-called leader once said they are not of this world, even as he was not of this world. So what are they? Aliens and guilty. You turn them in. They are guilty, not you. If you don't, then you are also guilty with the same verdict as them. Remember your loyalty pledge. End of speech. And if all accept the alien lie which the party imposes, the lie becomes truth. Aliens? So when our alien God created man, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Our soul is what separates us from animals. Many of us feel like caged birds as our soul seeks to break free, longing for the celestial dimension of truth and love. When our cage is opened, we fly. Our soul found eternity. The body is now secondary and only temporarily. We are no longer bound to our earthly four dimensions. Nothing can shake that. We've connected to God and His love through Jesus, who has the key to open the cage. Ask Him to open yours, and then you will know where we came from and where we are going, back to our home, heaven, with the final goal to bring heaven back to earth. Blinding ignorance. To the contrary, Satan's lies educate us that we came from nowhere and we are going nowhere. We are a particular species of herd animals. This world is all there is and is our only future. We are alone. From kindergarten on, we are educated to fit into his mindset and workforce. Like the slave master only teaches his slaves how to do their particular job, he doesn't tell the slaves the ins and outs of the overall management. That is why the Bible is out of school, as it gives us the complete program picture. As Satan tightens his control, he'll seek to abolish the Bible and those questioning his ways of working. Satan's final goal is numbering everyone like cattle to be drafted against this alien invasion, as he knows that Jesus will return for world takeover. Control. As we see, Satan is a total control freak, condemning, judging, and killing those that don't respect him. Question: but doesn't God try to control and judge us also? Answer: if that were true, then God would never relinquish his position as the judge, correct? However, Jesus said in John 5:22, the Father judges no man but has committed all judgment to the Son. Well, I am thankful for that, because Jesus refused to judge the woman that the law-abiding citizens were ready to stone, as they had caught her doing extramarital activities. Well, I'm glad that Jesus is my judge, because I anticipate that he will be merciful with me in spite of all my frustrations and my selfish bungling. Blinding ignorance does mislead us. O wretched mortal, open your eyes, says Leonardo da Vinci. Fear versus faith. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We might at times think that we are forgotten. However, God is there like a coach who is giving us the final training for the Olympics, or in this case, to bring heaven back to earth and to rule and reign with Jesus for the next 1,000 years. This is the climax of all history. So can these calamities be avoided? Is there a way out of this world sinking ship, is the question. The answer is, it is clear that it has lost its direction. It's passing it from one weak helmsman to another, leading us further and further astray into imminent calamity. Under the waterline, it is springing leaks of corruption. Seeing that so much of mankind hankers after money and power with no concern for the poor, it looks like the future will have to unfold as predicted. We are so gullible and easy influenced by the smooth lies that we will follow Satan right into the nuclear hell, still believing that he wants to save the world. So the answer is no for the world, but yes for you personally. You can leave this disaster approaching ship through the escape hatch, the Mashiach, our true Savior, Jesus of Nazareth. Be still. For those among us that are not familiar with prayer, the best thing to do is to find a quiet place and talk to God like you would to your best friend. This simple prayer will help you to get started. Dear Jesus, I am not very good at this praying business, but if what I have read has any reality to it, then I ask you for your protection and guidance. If you are real, then I humbly ask that you manifest yourself to me. I will read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so I can learn what is written about you. I want to ask you to come into my heart and guide me through this jungle of life. Please forgive me for my selfishness, as I would like to have more love, so I can do something meaningful for someone else. By the way, I mean this. Know what you believe. If the question remains with you, is this man of sufficient stature God, or is he the devil? Then know that the children of Israel had the same doubts. So Elijah challenged them, and that challenge is still here for us. 1 Kings 18:21 says, "How long do you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, then follow him. If this man of sufficient stature and his talking puppet is your God, then follow him." As far as I am concerned, by his grace, we will serve the Lord until he calls us home, says in Joshua 24:15. So to avoid drowning into the flood of lies, memorize scriptures to discern truth from lie. It says in Psalm 91:4, "His truth shall be your shield." Chapter 4, our two choices and what is next. Choice number 1, with accepting his mark, I save my neck temporarily, but what is next? Now, all these points have verses, but I will not read those. You can look them up for yourself as you download A Man of Sufficient Stature, and we are on page 35. So if I choose to take the RFID microchip, I can be traced any minute. My life is dictated as I am hooked up to the image that can give me the death sentence if I don't cooperate. My free will is gone. I have become a zombie. Next point. To worship the image made by science as my God. This is my new creator. Next point. I must betray my friends and family who don't worship the image to save my neck and get in good with the authorities. Next point. I need to dodge the meteorites and the asteroids of the seven tribulation trumpets. Next point. Locusts chase me for 5 months and sting like scorpions. Next point. I want to commit suicide, but it's failing. Next point, after 3.5 years of zombie, I end up into the atomic war and break out in painful boils. If I make it through the nuclear aftermath, I will be recruited for the Battle of Armageddon, where I make my last wish. May I please die as soon as possible? Next point, my wish is fulfilled and the vultures rip into my body, and where the hell my soul ends up, I have no idea. Now we go to choice number 2. The consequences if I refuse to take the mark, then what is next? Jesus said, when you see the abomination, flee. Don't take anything out of your house. Are we still strangers and pilgrims on earth in this day and age? Like it says in Hebrews 11, it is time to run and flee with the woman, the body or bodies of believers, into the wilderness with those who get out on time. Revelation 12:6-14. Some stay behind, not cowering, but powering. We have the two witnesses prophesying in Revelation 11. It says, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many. It says in Daniel 11:32-33. Then we who know God shall do exploits or heroic acts and shall instruct many. We will teach many what's up. If I make this choice, then I can at least make my own decisions. But what if I get caught? The death penalty. Jesus said, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you, in John 15:18-20. So death is only a sad occasion if we leave God and Jesus out of the picture. As with Jesus, death is swallowed up into victory. 1 Corinthians 15:54. So I'm offered clemency with the mark. No thanks. Okay, so ready, aim, chop. My head rolls. There goes Johan. I'm going up to heaven. Welcome home, son. We were waiting for you. Then we will have the major tribulation events, but these we will discuss in part two of A Man of Sufficient Stature. So we can be planning for the world beyond. We can plan for a better world after the bullies and they that destroyed the earth, as it says in Revelation 11:18, have destroyed each other, and the meek will inherit the earth, Matthew 5:5. Isaiah describes that hardly any males are left. Isaiah 13:12 and 4:1 says, I will make a man more precious than fine gold. In that day, seven women shall take hold of one man. Developing new ideas. No more military training, as the weapons are recycled into useful tools. Isaiah 2:4 says, they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and neither shall they learn war anymore. So for the engineers among us, we can further develop electricity drawn from water and water-fueled engines. Many have invented cars running on water since G.H. Garrett invented his engine that ran on water way back in 1935. However, the people that make billions on the oil do everything in their power to suppress and ridicule it. All the environmental problems will be solved. No oil means no plastic, no oil spills, oil wars, belching fumes, smog, all finished. Let's plan ahead and think outside of our box. How we can develop heaven on earth. What laws should we implement? What is your talent? Revelation 20 verse 4 says, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And that's it.